everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Spitter Podcast. I'm Bob Moffitt. Well, Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson are once again eligible to be voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Some people thought this was never going to happen. Death ended up being the deciding factor, apparently, in Rob Manfred's mind, as he reversed bans for gambling that have been in effect for 36 and 104 years, respectively. Manfred released a statement that dealt mostly with Rose's suspension. In it, he said, quote, "In my view, once an individual has passed away, the purposes of Rule 21 have been served. Obviously, a person no longer with us cannot represent a threat to the integrity of the game." He continued, "Therefore, I have concluded that permanent ineligibility ends upon the passing of the disciplined individual, and Mr. Rose will be removed from the permanently ineligible list." Rose died last year at the age of 83. He is the all-time Major League Baseball leader in hits with 4,256 and in games played. Major League Baseball began investigating him for gambling in 1989 when he was manager of the Cincinnati Reds. The team finished second in the National League West four times during his tenure. There was ample proof that he gambled on baseball games played by other teams, but also on the Reds. He agreed to a lifetime ban if baseball did not formally declare he had bet on the game. The deal was with A. Bartlett Giamatti, who was commissioner at the time. Giamatti would die just 8 days later at the age of 51. And this was a point of contention for Rose for the rest of his life, was that Giamatti never intended for the ban to be forever, and that subsequent continuances of the ban violated the intent of the agreement. Now, Rose eventually admitted to gambling on games and would go so far as to say he bet on every game he managed for the Reds from 1984 to 89. He never wavered in his assertion that he always bet on the Reds to win. In 2007, in fact, he told ESPN Radio that he bet on the team every game. For years, though, he had denied betting at all, and then denied betting on the Reds. So the refusal to accept responsibility and the changing story is a big part of why the public never fully backed him in his quest to be reinstated. Gambling is what linked Rose and Jackson more than anything. Because of the scandal that nearly ended baseball in the United States, betting on games was baseball's third rail. Jackson was a member of the Chicago White Sox when he and seven others were accused of taking cash in exchange for losing the 1919 World Series to, this is coincidental, the Cincinnati Reds. The Black Sox scandal led to the eight players being banned for life by then Commissioner Kennesaw Mountain Landis, even though all were acquitted of conspiracy charges. If you have seen the movie Eight Men Out, then you are familiar with the story. Jackson said he took $5,000, but never did anything to hurt his team. The players always maintained that the reason they took the money was because Charles Comiskey was so damn cheap. Now, Jackson said he took $5,000, but never did anything to hurt the team or their cause. And the facts would seem to support that claim. He hit .375 in that series. His 12 hits set a record at the time, and he drove in 6 runs. He also threw out 5 opposing players on the bases and committed no errors. Jackson hit .356 in 13 years as a professional ball player. He was top 10 and most valuable player voting 4 times. He led the majors in triples 3 times and defensive assists twice. Of course, he wasn't perfect. He also posted 5 seasons of double-digit errors. He told the Sporting News in 1942, quote, "Regardless of what anybody says, I was innocent of any wrongdoing. I gave baseball all I had. The supreme being is the only one to whom I've got to answer. If I had been out there booting balls and looking foolish at bat against the Reds, there might have been some grounds for suspicion. I think my record in the 1919 World Series will stand up against that of any other man in that series or any other World Series in all of history." Agreed. A host of other players, though, could not make the same claim. They were banned and are also now eligible. They include Jackson's Black Sox teammates Eddie Chicot, Happy Felsch, Chick Gandel, Fred McMullen, Swede Risberg, Buck Weaver, and Lefty Williams. Joe Gideon, Gene Paulette, Benny Koff, Lee McGee, Phil Douglas, Cozy Dolan, Jimmy O'Connell, and William Cox were also reinstated. In my opinion, Manfred got this right. The two men can't be punished any more than they already have been. As competitive as Rose was, I really don't doubt that he always bet on the Reds to win when he bet. This is the man who destroyed catcher Ray Fosse in a play at the plate, after all, during the All-Star game. But with as long as it took him to finally come clean, many people, including me, still doubt that the last version of his story is the whole truth. Or maybe it is the whole truth. It would make sense that the story evolved to include whatever Rose thought would make the public and the commissioner's office happy. It's sad that his death was what the commissioner's office was actually waiting for. But then again, what's the use of having a punishment if you go back on your word and you don't follow through? Most parents will tell you that only sets you up for a cycle of enabling adults and spoiled, misbehaving children. As for Jackson, his acceptance of money was wrong. He's lucky his performance in the series didn't get him killed. Mobsters generally don't like double crosses, and that's really the point of both punishments. Gambling was illegal and unregulated while being controlled by vicious, often gun-toting criminals. No one wants that in any business. Seems strange now, though, to have Major League Baseball in bed with legalized gambling. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, I guess. Thanks for listening to the Spitter Podcast. Catch us next time on thespitter.com.